You have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, verse number 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor tonight, look him straight in the eye and say, "You are the light of the world." Amen. Now turn to somebody else and tell them, "I am the light. I am the light." Praise God. Let's pray and let's ask for God's anointing. Lord, we love you today. God, we're thankful for your word, God. We ask that you would anoint it to every life, every situation. God, give us ears to hear, God, and to apply it to our lives, to our situations, Lord. God, we'll be sure to give you all the thanks and all the praise that's due unto your name. You deserve it all, God, in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. This verse that we read, very familiar verse of scriptures, Jesus talking to his disciples, and he told them, "You are the light of the world." The world sees you. The world sees what's going on in your life. If we were to go to the book of John, chapter number 5, another very familiar verse of scripture, and it ties in with this, not a contradiction, but just a different place. It says, John chapter number 9 and verse 5, it says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus said this. He said, "As long as I'm here, I'm going to be the light of the world." As long as he was robed in flesh, that he would be the light of the world. And he was. If we read the stories, if we read the accounts of what Jesus did and how he taught and how he acted in all things, he was an example to us. He was an example to his disciples. He was an example to the unbelievers. He was an example to those that were for him and those that were against him. He was an example by how he acted. He was an example by what he did and even by what he didn't do. He was an example to those that were around him. And those who were against him, they were watching him. They were watching his every move. They wanted him to make a mistake. They were waiting for him to catch him in a mistake. But they weren't just watching him for this reason. There were others that were watching him to see how he would react, how he would handle certain situations. They wanted to see if he was what he said he was. They wanted to see if he lined up with what he was saying, if he was the real deal. They wanted to see if he was a hypocrite, or if he was real and he followed what he was teaching others. People get tired of those who say one thing and then they do something else. No doubt when I say that, you somebody comes to your mind. Amen. You know somebody that maybe says something one way but then lives it a different way. Something completely out of the ordinary. It was this way in Jesus' time, and it's no different today. There were people that would say one thing and do something else. People are still, in our generation, people are still looking for something and for someone who is real. People are tired of fake. People are tired of people that are posers, that are putting on a charade, that are trying to put on an act. People are looking for something that is real and somebody who is real. Since the very beginning of the New Testament church, God's people have been called to be a light unto the world that is lost in gross darkness. And if they were called back then to be a light in a world that was dark, how much more today in a world that is so much more dark and devilish than we've ever seen before? I believe that we are in the last of the last days because we are witnessing the world double down on sin, double down on darkness, going astray from God's will. The world is searching for something different. Something different, something better than what they've always known. That's why the church should be so appealing. That's why the people of God should be so appealing, because they're looking for something different. They're looking for something better than what this world has to offer. They're searching for someone who is, as the Bible calls it, peculiar. And that's not a bad thing. It's all right to be different if you're being different for God. That means that in order to be His light, we are going to have to be different than the rest of this world. Amen. Not just, and I'm not talking about just in our doctrine and in our salvation plan and in our holiness standards. That's not altogether what I'm talking about. But to be a light to the world, we've got to be different in every aspect. We are the light when we carry and we show forth His banner of love. When we can love our neighbor as ourself. Amen. We are the light when we show forth the love that He showed to us. Amen to other people. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 27. Turn there with me tonight. Luke 6 and verse 27 says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also." He said that if a man smites you or hits you on one side of your face, that you're supposed to turn the other cheek to him. Amen. That you're supposed to let him hit you on the other side as well. Now, I know that's a tall order. That, to most of us, the first instinct we would have would be to start swinging. Amen. Well, I'll put that in context. As long as he's not 6'7" and 300 pounds, then you just let him hit the other cheek. But if he's takeable, the first instinct is to fight back. When we're hit in this cheek, we come around swinging. Amen. To hit them back harder than they hit us. It's true. When I was young, and young boys are often taught to stand up for themselves, not to be sissies. Maybe it's not that way anymore, but when I was growing up, that's what we were taught. Don't be a sissy. Don't be a baby. If somebody hits you, you stick up for yourself. And so we fight back. That's our instinct. It's our instinct to fight back. It's our instinct to retaliate. We fight back because we love this flesh and we want to take care of it. We want to protect it, don't we? And we fight back because of our pride. Because we don't want anybody to think that we can't handle ourselves. We don't want anybody to think that we're less of a man or less of a lady to this individual that has smote us on the cheek. But Jesus taught otherwise. Not only did he tell us to turn the other cheek, but he lived it as an example. You see, he wasn't just preaching one thing and doing another thing. He was practicing what he preached. And when he told them that they needed to turn the other cheek, when he went to Calvary, when he was beaten and he was scourged and he was hit and he was slapped in his face, amen, and he could have called down a legion of angels to destroy them, he didn't do it. But he took it. He took the beating. He took them slapping him on his face. He took it as they spit upon him. How degrading. He allowed it to take place. He allowed it to happen. And you know what? It spoke volumes to those who saw it. It spoke volumes to how he handled it. Because surely this person, there's something different about him. There's something different. Turning the other cheek is not showing weakness. It's showing a witness. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Turning the other cheek is not showing weakness. It's not weak to turn the other cheek, but it's showing a witness. It's being a witness of what God has done in your life and what God is doing through you. It takes a stronger person to turn the other cheek and to keep a Christian attitude than it does to fight back or to retaliate. And I'm not just talking about a physical type of altercation. I'm talking about a verbal or a mental or any type of altercation that can come your way. If somebody slaps you across the face, even if it's verbally, turn the other cheek. because that's what the Lord commanded us. Because it's a witness. It's a witness to those that are watching. And don't think for a second that there aren't people that are watching you. Don't think for a second that your neighbors and the people that you rub shoulders with aren't watching your every move just to see what you're going to do. I believe sometimes we're putting into those type of situations just so that we can show forth a Christian witness. And so that the people that are around us can see that, oh, there's something different about this individual. Amen. Praise God. It takes strength to turn the other cheek. Think about it tonight. How much of a witness would it be if we were physically or verbally attacked and instead of retaliating, we prayed for that person? And we showed self-control. Amen. Temperance is one of the fruit of the Spirit. That means self-control. That means that we can't do it by ourselves, but if we have the presence of God dwelling within us, if we have His Spirit inside of us and we're staying full of the Holy Ghost, then we can have the ability to control ourselves. Amen. Praise God. If people witness that, they would say, you know what? There's something different about that person. I want what that person has. To be able to do that, I want what that person has. Jesus went on to say that if a man takes your coat, give him your cloak, give him your coat also. If someone steals our prized possessions, we retaliate, don't we? Oh, don't take my stuff. Don't take it. We strive to get it back. We take all the effort we can to get it back. But Jesus taught us that these earthly things are possessions. They're not real. They're not really what matter. I'm not telling you to let someone, don't leave your front door open and let people come and rob your house, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But we need to keep it in context. We need to think about what's more important. Those things or keeping a Christian witness. Our treasures are in heaven. And we have to ask ourselves, what is the most important thing to us? The things of this world or the things of the world to come? Amen. Verse 30 says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's where they get the golden rule. Now maybe you young people don't know, or maybe you've never heard the golden rule. I know when we were growing up, we talked about it in school, we talked about it at home. Does anybody know what the golden rule is? Okay, good. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Did you know that's in the Bible? That's in your Bible. That's not just some cliche that your parents made up to get you to act right or to do something they wanted you to do. But Jesus said, treat others like you want to be treated. Do to others like you want them to act unto you. Now, that can go two different directions. If you treat people bad and you want people to treat you bad, but most people want others to treat them good. But it's reciprocal. You treat others good if you want to be treated good. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But what if they don't follow the golden rule? What if they don't listen to it and they treat me badly and they're mean to me and they say things about me or they verbally or physically attack me? What if they don't do that? What if they don't do what I feel like I deserve? You turn the other cheek. You present a Christian witness unto them. Verse 32 says, for if you love them that love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love them. Sinners love other people if they're loved. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. And maybe some interest. But it says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 36 says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Again, that's a tall command. But if we put it in context, where He said, if you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. That's a big gulp. If you ever have an instance where you were put in a place where you need to forgive somebody, just think back about all that you've been forgiven. Amen. Or think forward of what you're going to need to be forgiven of in the future. Amen. And just get it out of the way. Get it taken care of. Forgive. It says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Amen. People get upset when they believe that they're right and when they've been done wrong. And all of us are guilty tonight. I'm preaching this to myself as much as I am anybody else, okay? We're all guilty of that. We all like to be right, and when we feel like we're right, which is most of the time, we don't like to be done wrong. But what are we basing it on? How do we know what's right and what's wrong? How do we know how we should be treated? Well, the Word of God is right. But people are wrong. We live in a world full of wrong people. People that are not following the will and the Word of God. And so what do we do in those situations? We may think to ourselves, well, I feel that I'm right in this situation. Or simply put, I'm right. Have you ever said that? In a situation where you feel like you were done wrong, well, I'm right. I didn't do anything wrong. It's their fault. I'm going to put the blame on somebody else. I've said that before. But I got to thinking about that statement. The word right is the first part of the word righteous. And righteous means to be right with God. So when we say, I'm right, we're not far from saying that I'm self-righteous. If we feel like we've always got to be right, we're wrong. We need to be careful because this attitude can quickly turn to an attitude of self-righteousness. Thinking that we're better than everybody else. Thinking we know better than everybody else. And we're always right and everybody else is always wrong. And it's a dangerous place to be. The Bible says, Isaiah 64:6, and you don't have to turn there tonight, but it says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's the very best that I'm capable of. My righteousness, the hardest I can work for, the best that I can do is filthy rags before God. That's why we seek after His righteousness. The reason we react like we do is because we think that we deserve something. We think we deserve to be treated. I deserve to be treated a certain way. A certain amount of respect. Think about the story of Joseph tonight. He didn't deserve any of the horrible things that happened to him. But you know what? Through all of it, he trusted in God and he let God work it all out. He did. What about Jesus? They didn't respect Jesus. If they didn't respect him, why do you think we deserve respect? They didn't treat him the way they should have. And if anyone deserved to be treated well, it was the Lord of glory. But they treated him horribly. Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. He came selflessly, thinking of everybody but himself. He was the perfect example. He deserved to be respected. He deserved to be looked up to. And you know what? If anybody could say, I'm right, Jesus could say, I'm right. He who knew no sin became sin. Praise God. As for me, I don't deserve anything. I deserve a lot worse than I've been given. I deserve to die for my sins. I deserve to pay the price for my past. And you know what? Every one of us do. That's what we deserve. But you know what? Thankfully, we don't have to. We don't have to. But that will, if anything, let that help you put it in context, that the sooner we come to the realization that we don't deserve anything, the better off we're going to be. You know, it's really hard to hurt somebody's feelings or to make somebody feel wrong when they don't think that they're right all the time. If you don't go around touting that you're right all the time, when somebody does you wrong, you're like, well, I don't deserve anything, so I guess the Lord was abused, the Lord was beaten, the Lord was scourged. This is par for course. I know this isn't popular. I know this isn't something that we want to hear. Amen. And I'll tell you, I had a different direction I was going, but when I was preparing it, I could not get peace to go a different direction. I feel like God laid this on my heart for somebody. I know He did for me. If you guys don't get anything out of it, God spoke this to me and you just have to listen in, all right? But we don't deserve anything. Matthew 5 and verse 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Who wants to be called the child of God? I do. I have my hand up. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you." You and me. When men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And then verse 12 says, "Get mad and get even." It doesn't. Maybe in the NIV. It doesn't in the King James, all right? It says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." He said that blessed are they which are persecuted. Blessed are those who are reviled. That means that they are railed on or taunted. Blessed are those who are falsely accused for the sake of the cross, for Christ's sake. None of that sounds like any fun. It doesn't. It doesn't sound like fun. It's not any fun. But then he goes on to say, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." So not only do I have to endure, but I've got to be happy about it. Because we get a much greater reward in heaven if we can just turn the other cheek. If we can just turn the other cheek, and you know what? Not only will it save your soul and my soul, but it will save the people that are around you that witness it. People that see you turn the other cheek. People that see you take it. Take persecution, take abuse, and all of that, and not retaliate, not fight back. But say, you know, and sometimes it's just a matter of trying to just give them an excuse in your mind. Well, you know what? Maybe they're having a bad day. You know, maybe whatever. Maybe their pipes froze and whatever. Something's going on in their life and, you know, they're dealing with it and they just took it out on me. And Lord, maybe you can use me to reach out to them or to be a witness to them. Because you know what? They're watching. The people that we go to work with, the people that we rub shoulders with, they're watching. They're wanting to see something different. Verse 14, we read it. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." So you mean that ties together with all of that other stuff? Yeah. Being a light ties together with being persecuted and reviled and people speaking evil falsely against you. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," and they will, "and that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven." So they're going to see what good you do, and they're going to give God the glory. And that's, you know what, that's who deserves it really. If we fight back, if we retaliate, God doesn't get the glory. But if we'll turn the other cheek, if we'll give him our cloak along with our coat, amen, God gets the glory for it. When we turn the other cheek, we're being an example of Christ. When we esteem ourselves lower than others, and when we humble ourselves, people are going to take notice. Because you know what? The world doesn't do that. The world doesn't humble itself to others because pride can't humble itself. And I've got to get a foot up. I've got to get a foothold so I can climb this ladder. I've got to get higher. I've got to make more. I've got to do more. But if we're humble, amen, if we esteem ourselves lower and we don't think ourselves way up high, people are going to take notice. And people will see our good works and they're going to give glory to God. Let's look at a couple scriptures tonight. Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse 22. Proverbs 20 and verse 22. It says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." Amen. Wait for the Lord to work it out. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5 and verse 15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves," that means in the body of the church, "and to all men." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Turn there tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing." So we're called. If you read that, we're called to be done wrong. We're called to be railed on. We're called to be attacked. It doesn't mean it's fun. Doesn't mean we have to love it. We rejoice in it because we know that God's going to work it all out. And we know that this world is not our home. I read a quote that I thought was fitting for what we're talking about tonight. It says, "Show respect to people who don't even deserve it. Not as a reflection of their character, but as a reflection of yours." Amen. We don't treat others nice because we expect it in return. We don't treat others kindly and with love and compassion because we expect them to do the same for us. Because if we do that, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. We're setting ourselves up for failure because others will let you down. People will let you down. But we show people love and compassion, and we care for them, and we pray for them, and we help them because we want to be a witness to them. And because we want them to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. If I could go a step further from this quote, we could say that we should show respect to people who don't deserve it, not as a reflection of their God, small g, but as a reflection of our God, who we serve. One more verse tonight, Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. It says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Now, that's not a free ticket to just get along or not get along with certain people, all right? It says, "as much as lieth within you." That means you've got to try with everything within you. And there might be some that you just can't get along with. But that doesn't mean that you can't still love them and pray for them, all right? But it says, "as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." So when we go to God in prayer and we give it to God, God's going to take care of the situation. And I've seen it. I've seen God take care of people on their job that were done wrong, that were attacked on their job, and it wasn't very much longer, a week, 2 weeks later, and that person was fired or something happened to that individual. God works it out. God works on our behalf. God works in situations, but I'll tell you, if you take it into your own hand, if we take it into our own hand, God's going to step back and he's going to throw his hands up and he's going to say, okay, you've got this. I'm not going to do anything. So do we want God to work it out or do we want to work it out ourselves? It says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Amen. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And you don't want to do it just for that reason, all right? You don't want to just bless him so that you can heap coals of fire on him. That's not the right attitude. You do it because that's what we're supposed to do. Because that's what we've been called to do. Verse 21 says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Musicians, come tonight. Now, I realize, as I said before, this may not be a popular message in our generation. This is not something that we like to hear because we like to do what we want to do. But I'll tell you, I believe that this is the will of God for each of his children. I believe that. I do. If we can get a hold of this concept, we will be greatly blessed. And if you're already living it and doing it, praise God. This is just affirmation unto you. Maybe it's for the rest of us who need to hear this and need to be reminded of this every once in a while. If we can come to the place where we don't just think that we have to be right all the time and we can turn the other cheek, just think about how great a witness that this will be to this world. And you know what we need? You know what this world needs more than anything in these last days? It needs a witness. It needs somebody that is real. It needs somebody that's not just saying one thing and doing another, but somebody that says it and lives it right before them. The world, the people on your job, the people you rub shoulders with every day, they aren't looking for someone who is going to be just like everybody else in every other area. They're looking for somebody who's different. They're looking for something better. They're looking for something higher. And you know what? We've got something to offer them. Amen. We've got something to offer them. We've got something better. It's not me, but it's inside of me. And if I let God take control, and if I let him lead the charge, amen, and if I turn the other cheek when I'm done wrong, let me tell you, it won't be very long. And they'll come to you. They'll come to you in a private setting, or they'll come to you when they have a need and they'll say, I need you to pray for me. I've got this situation. Or they'll come to you and they'll say, you know, I noticed so-and-so about you. I noticed that there was something different about you. And it's the perfect opportunity for you to tell them about your God. It's the perfect opportunity for you to give them your testimony about what God did for you and what he saved you from. Say, come on, God has it for you too. Praise God, praise God. Why don't we stand together tonight? Amen. Why don't you just take a moment? Let's lift our hands unto the Lord and let's thank him for taking care of our situations, for taking care of every problem that would come against us, for being our strength and our help. Come on, lift your voice unto the Lord tonight.